We're going to start by the two dots on the bottom of Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Bet. Gemara is now going to deal with the machloket actually at the top of the Amud from the Mishnah, which is Nishchata Beima Ukshuru B'damea as Divrei Rabbi Meir. Shimon Omer Lo Ukshuru, that whether the dam of the Shechita can be Machshir Beima, which is Rabbi Meir's opinion, or Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which is Lo Ukshuru, that it doesn't work to be Machshir Beima in terms of Tumat Ochlim. Question is, what is the Nikudata Machloket? What is the point of contention between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? So we're going to have numerous suggestions by the Amoraim, one after the other, about exactly what they are arguing about. So I asked, by Mako Miflige, what are they arguing about? Amar Rabba, Bebeiman, Nasid Yad, the Iver Kamiflige. They're arguing about whether the animal can become an Yad for the Iver. Fine, in terms of the Dam Shechita, it's clear that the Dam Shechita can affect the Behemad itself. But the Gabea Iver, the Eiver is kimat, almost totally separated from the Behema. The reason that it's connected to the Behema is because the Behema would act as a yad, as a handle to pick up this Eiver. Problem is the disproportionate size here. You have a small Eiver and a large Behema. Do you have it that a small Eiver can have a large Behema act as a yad towards it? Marsaver in Behema nasid yad the Eiver. Let's say Rabbi Shimon holds that a Behema is not a Yad Eiver, therefore the Dam Shechita has no bearing on this Eiver. Whereas Rabbi Meir, Marsav Behema Nasid Yad Eiver, that the Behema can be a Yad for the Eiver. And therefore the Dam Shechita, just like it affects the Behema, will also affect the Eiver. And this relates back to what we saw on Kuf Yud Chet, the Gabei, the Machloket, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, where they had a Machloket whether Yad is only applicable by Tumah. Do you only have a yad for tumah, or is yad also applicable by hechsher? So obviously over here, we're assuming that yad would work for hechsher. In that context, we want to know, if yad works for hechsher, when you have this disproportionate size here, behema, can it be a yad in terms of the aver? Now the next suggestion is a bay. Bay amar, b'uchiz b'katan, v'ena gadol ole imo uka miflige. They're actually arguing about an issue that is raised in the end of Uksin. Masechet Uktzin, they want to determine when is something considered to be connected. When are they considered to be an entity? So you have two pieces, one is large, one is small. And then you pick up the large piece, and along with the large piece comes up the smaller piece. That's one way to determine that they're connected. The other possibility, the Mishnah Uktzin introduces, if you pick up the small one, does the large one come along with it? So what is the determining factor about the connection between two items? So Mar Savar, Ochez Bekatan, Vein Gadol Oleimo, Harehu Kemo. Even if you grab the smaller item, here the Eiver, Vein Gadol Oleimo, and the Behema doesn't lift with it, meaning it's not going to come along with it, Harehu Kemo, it still is considered to be attached. Meaning you can govern this connection through the larger item. If you pick up the larger item, the smaller item will come along with it. And that'll be the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Umar Savar, and Rabbi Shimon says, Eino Kamo, if you can't lift up the smaller item and have the bigger item come along with it, they're not considered to be attached anymore. If they're not considered to be attached, then you would not have Hechsher Tuma pass from the Behema to the Eiver. Because Rashi says, Ein Tamayo Mishum Yad. The reason here is not because of Yad. Kuli Alma, Ein Behema Nasid Yad Eiver. Echad. A Behema will not be a Yad Eiver Echad. Question here is it considered to be a single unit or a separate unit? I mean, even if you think it's not a yad, you could still have a question about whether they're considered a single entity or they are two entities. This actually has nafkumino d'alocha. It's actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch, quoting that Mishnah Uksin is the source for that in the Beragola, which is the Gabei Chala. When you need chalot for Shabbat, they have to be chalot shlemot. How do you determine whether a challah is shlema or not shlema? What happens if there's a cut? What happens if there's a piece of the challah that's hanging off of it? The test is this. If you can pick up the smaller piece and the larger part of the challah comes with it, it's a challah shlema. If you pick up the smaller piece and the larger piece falls away from it, it's no longer classified as a challah shlema. So that's the test to know whether something is considered a single unit or not. When you need this challah shlema on Shabbat, the determining factor is exactly this test that they are speaking about over here. Rav Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Bochez B'Katan, Vein Gadol Ode Imo Kamiflege. Now, so Rabbi Yochanan says that this is the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Rabbi Meir, at the Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Yochanan questions the Shita of Rabbi Meir, we have the Shita in our Mishnah, as well as the Shita of Rabbi Meir In a Mishnah, Mi Amar Rabbi Meir Ochez Bekatan Ve'in Gadol Oleimo Harehu Kemohu, that even when you pick up the smaller one and the larger one doesn't come along, it's still considered to be a single entity. Piraminu, we have a Mishnah Tvuyom, Ochel Shinifras. You have food that crumbled, was cut, broke down. Umu'ura Bikitzat, or Miksat. It is still connected, slightly connected. There are little pieces connecting them. This is Ochel of Truma that a Tvuyom touches. A Tvuyom, which is a Sheni Lutuma, is Poselet Truma. It's a Tvul Yom touching Truma that has this construct. And by touching this construct, he posel it. He makes it into a Shlishi by Truma. Rabbi Meir Omer, what's the test? If you pick up the smaller piece and the large one comes with it, then it's a single entity. And if not, then it's not like it. Which would seem to be the Shita of Rabbi Shimon on our Mishnah according to this explanation. Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlefet Hashita flipped the positions of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir.
Here,
in Tvul Yom, I would assume that he wants to flip it in Tvul Yom. Umay Kushya. What's the question Rabbi Yochanan has? Dilma Shani Le the Rabbi Meir ben Tvul Yom, the Shar Tumot. Why do you have to say that our Mishnah and the Mishnah there in Bistira? Rabbi Meir says, by Tvul Yom, that's the test. Whereas over here, ben our Mishnah, the test will be only if you pick up the gadol and the katan comes along. So he says, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Echad Tvul Yom, Ve'echad Shar Tumot. It doesn't matter which Tumah we're talking about, according to Rabbi. Rabbi says Tvul Yom. Another Tumot will have the same din. The Gemara says, why was there a question at all? Meaning that you could distinguish between Tvul Yom and other Tumot. Rabbi Meir over there is Mekel and Tvul Yom, said the Tumah will not pass from one item to the other unless you can pick up the small one and the big one will come along, versus our Mishnah, which he says they are a single entity and it will cause Hechsher, the Kabul Tumah. So be Machmir in the Tumot of our Mishnah, Tumah Tuchlim, and it will be Mekel in Tvul Yom. Tvul Yom is a lighter form of Tumah. What's very interesting here is Rashi says, you know why? Shehu Tumah Derabonon. Tvul Yom is a Tumah Derabanan, Machmir hu b'Tumah Chamura, but it'll be Machmir in the Tumah of our Mishnah, Tumah Tochlim. Our Mishnah is talking about Tumah Doraito. Tvul Yom is talking about Tumah Derabanan. Since when? Ricky Vager says, since when is Tvul Yom Tumah Derabanan? Tvul Yom is Tumah Doraito. That's exactly how you get a Tvul Yom. You have a Tumah Doraito, you went to the mikveh, now you're waiting for Erev Shemesh. It says, Avalei Rashi Lomar, Tvul Yom Kolish. This is the way I explained it, that Tvul Yom is a lighter form of Tumah. Tzorach Yom Godol. Says, I don't know how to explain this Rashi here. The Rashi claims that we're talking about a Tumah Dirabonon. Alright, so we have the Braita of Rabbi. It says there's no distinction in Tumah between Tvul Yom and other forms of Tumah, or Tumah or Hekshir. It says, okay, V'dilma the Rabbi lo shani lei, or the Rabbi Meir shani lei. Okay, Rabbi has no distinction, but Rabbi Meir does make such a distinction. Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Achi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Divrei Rabbi, Mukhlevet HaShita. Rabbi Yochanan says this in Shitat Rabbi. If he's saying it in Shitat Rabbi, it means that there is no ability to make such a distinction between Tvul Yom and regular Tumah. Since you can't make such a distinction, you have no solution to the Stira in Rabbi Meir. And therefore, according to Rabbi, you must say Mukhlevet HaShita. The Rabbi Meir Shita is flipped by the Mishnah Tvul Yom, and therefore he will be consistent in his opinion that if you lift up the small thing and the large does not come along, it's still considered to be Mechubar and will be Machmir, both in our Mishnah as well as the Mishnah in Tvul Yom. Okay, now next attempt. So far we've had Rabbo who said the question or the machloket is about whether Be'iman Asid Eliyad Eiver. We had Abaye who says the question here is about Ochez Katan Be'ein Agadol Oleimo. Now we have a third attempt. This is Rova. Rova Amar Be'ez Yad L'Tuma Ve'en Yad L'Echsher Kamiflege. Similar to the machloket that we saw back on Kuf Yud Chet between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. Mar Sebe Yez Yad L'Tuma Ve'en Yad L'Echsher. So Rabbi Shimon holds that, yes, there's such a concept as Yad for Tumah, but there is no such concept of Yad for Hechsher. Yad is only applicable by Tumah, not by Hechsher. It's not relevant. So there over here, you can't say that the Dam of the Shkita, of the Behemah, is going to affect the Eiver. Now, everybody has to agree that Behemah Naseh Yad Be'Eiver, in this case. According to Rav, everybody holds the behemoth and said yadei. There is just a question, for what? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's only for Tumah. Whereas for Rabbi Meir, it's
just like yad can function as an extension by Tumah, can also function as an extension by Achsher. Similar to the machloket that we saw back on Kuf Yud Chet, which is the machloket between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan and the Gabay, whether yad is relevant when it comes to Achsher. So exactly that machloket will be the same machloket that we see here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Papa says, "Be'achsher kodem machshavat v'miflegei." They're arguing about this issue of whether when the hechsher takes place before the person is machshivet for ochlim, does that qualify as a proper hechsher? So as Rashi points out, to kuli alma, everybody agrees yesh yad tumah ulehechsher. Everybody agrees that there is a yad tumah and there's a yad hechsher. The question is here that the shechita happened before he was machshivet to give it to an Ovid Kochavim. Since the Hechsher happened or took place, the Shechita took place prior to his being machshivet to be used by an Ovid Kochavim. Therefore, what is the status of this item? Tanya, Rebbe Breit, Amri Yehuda, Kacha Yeh Rebbe Kiva Shoneh. This is the way Rebbe Kiva learned. Chelev Shchuta B'Kforim. We're talking about the fats in the villages. Tzarech Machshava. Over there you need Machshava. Vein Tzarech Hechsher. But you don't need Hechsher. Shvar hukshar b'shchita, because they already had the hechsher through the shchita. So what's transpiring here is that when you're out in the villages, and they have meat, Rashi brings down two interpretations. One is that the meat that is there suffices, and therefore they don't need to eat the fats. So the fats are considered to be useless or worthless to them. And therefore, unless a person has particular machshava for those fats, the default will be that the fats are considered waste or not considered as ochel. So if this person is machshivit, it will be ochel, but otherwise it will not be ochel. But over here, when he's machshivit to be ochel, that's after the shechita already took place. The shechita is the hechsher, and he's machshiv the fats afterwards. Yeah, the Rabbi Kiva says that's fine. The hechsher works, even though it was prior to the machshivit ochlim. The other possibility Rashi raises is that the difference between the cities and the villages is that in the cities, they were the wealthy people, they ate the meat, they ate the fats, whereas in the poorer areas, in the villages where they were poor, they either only had the lean meat, or they only had the meat, they didn't have the fats, and therefore the fats were not considered ochel in those areas, because they couldn't afford them. The fats were left in the big cities for the richer people. So if that's the case, it wouldn't be by default ochel, unless when a person is machshivit. By the time that he is machshivit, the hechsher has already taken place. Yet Rabbi Kiva says it's a good hechsher. Then, Amarti lefanav, he says back, Rabbi Yehuda, tell me, the Rabbi Kiva says back, Lamantanu Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us, Rabbi Kiva, Ushin, Endive, Shalatan, Vigdichan, Beima, that he picked them, and then he rinsed them off to be used for animal feed? Venimla chalem le'adam, and then he changed his mind and decided he wanted to use them for a salad. Tzrichod hechsher sheni? He has to do another hechsher over here. So what do you see? You see that the hechsher that took place prior to the machshevet ochlim, beforehand they were just animal feed. When he made them into human, for human consumption, when he decided he wants to use them in a salad, the hechsher already was gone. So that hechsher is no good. He has to do they need a second hechsher. So that is contradictory. That's a stira in divrei Rabbi Akiva. Because of Rabbi Akiva, the yod shunek Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Akiva backed away from his original position and went back to learning like he had taught Rabbi Yehuda, that the din is that you need a second hechsher. You can't have a machshevet ochlim after the hechsher. If you want to have the hechsher, it has to be after the machshevet ochlim. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Akiva's original position, which is that when you have a hechsher before the machshava, it still works. And therefore, in our Mishnah also, the machshevet ochlim happened afterwards. But the shechita was already transpired, had already transpired, and he says, yes, it is a good hechsher. Umar Sever, Rabbi Shimon holds, Lova Laki Chazara. He holds like Rabbi Kiva, after Rabbi Kiva retracted his position, Rabbi Kiva went back to learning the way he had taught Rabbi Yehuda, which is that a hechsher before Machshevet Ochlin is no good. That's what Rabbi Shimon says in our Mishnah, that his shechita took place prior to the Machshevet Ochlin, and therefore the shechita is not relevant in terms of hechsher. And that would be the Nukudat Machloket between them.
Alright, so Ravacha, Breder of Yika, Marmi Nitkaneach, Adam ben Siman, the Siman Kamiflege. They're arguing about whether when the blood was wiped off between the two Simanim. Now this relates to the fact that blood is only in certain circumstances considered to be a Makshir, and that's only when it's classified as Dam Chalalim. If it's Dam Chalalim, it's Makshir. If it's Dam Makah, it's not Makshir. Again, the exception to the rule is that Dam Shkita is classified as a Makshir because of the Pasuk in Devarim, which says, Al Aretz, Tishpechenu kamayim, where dam is compared to mayim. Therefore, it's classified as a machshir. So if this is shchita, then it can be a machshir. If it's not shechita, then it's going to be dam makah. Dam makah is not makshir. Here he wiped off the blood between the simani. But it really depends on what happens or what's the classification of the first siman. So according to Rabbi Meir Marsav, yeshan shechita mitchilat bad sof. There's shechita from beginning to end. If there's shechita from beginning to end, all the blood that was expelled from this animal is dam shechita. Dam shechita can be makshir. So even though you wiped off the blood after the first siman, that blood qualified to be a makshir. V'hai dam shechita hu. Umasava in the shechita lo basof. Rabbi Shimon holds there's only shechita at the end. It's only shechita at the end. The blood that came out from the first siman is just dam makah. Dam makah does not qualify as a makshir. But once you got to the point where it's the end of the shechita, there was no dam anymore. By dam makahu, since that dam that came up from the first siman, that was only dam makah, that will not qualify as a makshir. So that's what Rav Acha Bar Ravika says, the machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is in our Mishnah. Vashi Amar, b'shechita makhsheret velo dam kamiflege. This we saw earlier in the Masechta. I mentioned it when we did the Mishnah yesterday, that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion, not that the problem here is that there is no, the dam is not makhshir, it's just that you don't need the dam. You can have a shechita yvesha, according to Rabbi Shimon, and be makhshir. Because Rabbi Shimon says it's the shechita that is makhshir, not the dam that is makhshir. Rabbi Meir is focused on the liquid, on the dam that is spurted out, and that is the makhshir. Rabbi Shimon says the shechita itself performs the ekshir. So just in those last couple of cases, benit kanech adam, in that case, we have to say that they hold chuliyama in yad the hekshir. There's no yad the hekshir, but there is yad the tuma. And the whole question is about shechita. Is this dam a makshir or not? And in the case of Ravashi, chuliyama itle yad the hekshir, or, as Rashi says, inami, really oches bekatan, min godolei manu harihu kamohu. They have to hold one of those two things. And the real question is, Rabbi Shimon letamei, damar, shechita makshiret velo dam. And Rabbi Shimon is just the shechita told that the makshir here is in the shechita, not the dam itself. Again, we saw this earlier in the Masechta. This Eber HaMedudal, Shechita has no bearing on it. It's not going to be Makshirit Ba'achila. What the Shechita will do from that Eber HaMedudal is, it'll protect it from becoming Tumat Nevela, because Ein Shechita Osein Ipul. But on the other hand, it will not make it Mutar Ba'achila. So because of that, there is no Shechita here. The Shechita for the Behema is fine. Shechita of the behema is makshir the behema. But as far as that eiver is concerned, the shechita has no bearing on it. All it's doing here is being mitaher, the eiver midei nevela, but it's not being matirit ba'achila. So since this isn't a full-fledged shechita for the eiver is not nichshar al yidei the shechita. Can't be nichshar al yidei shechita. Whereas if you have dam come on and you believe dam is the makshir, then dam would be makshir this eiver because it got onto the eiver, or because it got on the behema, and this is considered, as Rashi was saying, that it's a yad lehechsher, or it's pick up the katan in gadol imen, it's still considered to be a single entity. Whatever the reasoning was that we discussed earlier about the dam being the makshir. Boy rabo, behema bechaya moshe to say yad le'eiver. An animal while it's alive, can it be a yad for the eiver? So of course, when it's dead, we just discussed that that possibly was the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, raised by Rabbo. In Behemana, said, yeah, they were not. That he thought was the nekudat machloket between them. But now he asks, what about when it's alive? When it's alive, can also function as a yad lever. So you say to me, my nafkamina. My nafkamina. And Behemana, when it's alive, is not mekabel tuma. The nafkamina is exactly that. We said in our Mishnah, an eiver medudal is not tamei tumat nevelot, but it is mitamei tumat ochlim. So this eiver that's mitamei tumat ochlim, can the behema, which is alive, act as a conduit for tumah? It itself can't be mekabel tumah, the behema, while it's alive. But can it act as a conduit to bring tumah to this eiver? So that's the question that Rabbi's posing. He says, when it's dead, I understand that it can be a yad. That makes sense, because it has the same status as the eiver at that point. It could be tumat ochlim, it could be tumat nevela, whatever it is, it could be at the same status. But in terms of when the animal's alive, where it's not mekabel tumah, can you have a conduit of tumah where it itself is not mekabel tumah? That he lives as a teku. Amar Abaye, Hari Amru, Kishot, we're talking about cucumber, zucchini, something in that family. Shenatan batzitz, that was planted in a pot that has no holes in it. Big dila. And then it grew up. V'yatzat chutz latzitz. And then it grew outside of the pot itself. Tehora. It is tahor. I'm Rav Shimon. Why would you make it tahor here? Ela tamei b'tumato. V'tahor b'tarato. What is tamei remains tamei, and what is tahor is tahor. So, right, the case here, what's the case here? So you put it into a pot that was separated from the ground, and it's mikabel tuma kishar ochlim. It's a talush. It's not mechuber the karka, so it can be mikabel tuma. But then the plant grows out of the pot, and the leaves are now sitting on the ground. The leaves of this have grown so far, they are now right on the ground. Not in the pot anymore, but on the ground. And the Gemara believes that the leaves draw their nutrition through the airspace of the ground. Since the leaves draw their nutrition from the airspace of the ground, the leaves are considered to be mechubar lekarka. How far does that mechubar lekarka go? Do we say, and that's what the Tanakhama says, that the mechubar lekarka are the leaves, that the fact that they're drawing their nutrition from the ground by the leaves is then spread throughout the plant, and therefore the entire plant now is classified as mechubar lekarka, and it will not be mekabel tuma? Or, like Rabbi Shimon says, do we say what's on the karka will be classified as mechubar lekarka? What's in the pot will remain talush, because it's not drawing its nutrition from there. The leaves that are, fine, but the parts that are not will be classified as a dain talusha and can be mekabel tuma. So now Abaye poses the question similar to Rabba's question. Abaye, Ma'usha to say Yad the Chaverta. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says half the plant is Tlusha and half the plant is Mechubar, that means that the Mechubar part can't be Mekabel Tuma. The Tlusha part, the part that's in the pot, can be Mekabel Tuma. Can the leaves act as a Yad to bring the Tuma into the pot? That's what he wants to know. Same question as Rabba. Something that is not going to be Mekabel Tuma can act as a Yad for something that is Mekabel Tuma. Exact same question, the Gemara leaves it as a teku. We're going to have a series of these types of questions in different scenarios. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Hare Amru, Amishtachlave, L'chatzi Zalat. Someone who bows down to half a gourd, some god that he has there, Asra, he makes it Asur. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiya asks the question, Mahu, Shetese, Yad Chaverta. How do we look at the other half of the gourd? Does the other half of the gourd, I mean, now Rashi brings down two possibilities of what the question is here. The gourd itself, the half of the gourd that he bowed down to, is tamei.
As Rashi explains over here, the tumah that is associated with this dalat as being avodah zarah, machloket atanaim, whether it has tamei tumat sheretz, or if it's tamei tumata mei to tumata nida, that is all a din dirabonon. So that cannot be what the Gemara is discussing over here, or the question that relates to yad. Rashi offers up two alternatives. One alternative that Rashi offers up is tumah of avodah zarah. And the question now is, can that tumah be conveyed through the other half of the dalat? Since one half of the dalat has tumah, can the other half then convey the tumah as a yad, convey that tumah, avodah zarah, ayadei the yad? Tosafot rejects that and says, I don't understand. That cannot be the question over here. Because in the entire sugya so far, we've seen that an ochel is not a yad. Here you have the other half of the dalat. It's an ochel. Why can't it be a yad? What here stops it from being a yad? Therefore, he favors the first interpretation of Rashi. In the first interpretation of Rashi, Rashi asks, if the part that was worshipped as avodah zarah, can that convey? Can that be a yad for the other half of the dalat? The other half of the dalat is edible, it's ochel, and it can be mekabel to matochlim. Now, when it's something touches the half that is la'avodah zarah, is that the equivalent of touching the other half and it'll become a rishon l'tumah? Or is it that the sheretz touches the half of avodah zarah, and the half of the avodah zarah touches the other half of the dalat, and it's a sheni the tumah? Why would I think that the half that is the avodah zarah should not be a yad? Because it's no longer ro'i la'achila. It's no longer ro'i la'achila, and therefore it cannot function as a yad. What do you mean? We've had plenty of things here that are not ro'im la'achila. It's part of the definition what a yad is. It doesn't have to be ro'i la'achila. So Tosfot here and a previous Tosfot answers that when it comes to yad, that is ainu ro'i la'achila, that's if inherently the yad is not ra'ui la'achila, then it can function as a yad. But something that is otherwise ra'ui la'achila, and because of whatever exogenous variable here is now being prevented from having tumat ochlim, or from being eaten, then that item can no longer function as a yad. Or that's at least the question that is being posed here, is whether it can function as a yad or not in that type of instance. And the Gemara leaves it as a teiku.
Amra papa hari amar, yuchur shel teina shnifshach. So we have a branch of figs that split away from the main tree, umure beklipata, but it still has attached by the bark. The branch is severed, but the bark is still attached. Rabbi Yehuda mitaher, fechachamim omrim. Rabbi Yehuda says it's tahor. It's already severed, but the attachment, the umure beklipata, the bark that keeps it attached, That makes it tahor. It's mechuber lekarka. Im yachol lichiot tahor. If you put it back together, it would live. It survives. This branch will adayin be drawing its nutrition and its sustenance from the tree. Then tahor, because then it's mechuber. V'im lav, if it cannot be rejoined to the original tree, it will not live off the original tree. I mean, now it will begin to dry out. Tamei, because that's considered to be trusha. Bayro papo, mashu yase yad lechaveiro. What's the story with this? Can it be a yad to the other half? Meaning, according to the chachamim, who say that if it's not able to live, then it is tamei, can the tree be a yad for this branch? Because the branch could become tuma. If you touch the tree, can you now make the branch tamei? Because the tree will be a yad for the branch, because it's considered tusha, the branch, the tree is mechubar. Can you have something that cannot be mekabel tuma, be a conduit of tuma to the branch? Well, actually, has another complicated way of explaining it. I think that's the simple way of explaining what the question is here. And the Gemara again ends with the teku.
So you're saying that the question here is not about the branch.
It's attached to the main tree. The main tree could be lifted up and the branch would come along, even though it's not being sustained by the main tree. Right, it has to be in the case where it can't live. Otherwise, it's not a kabel tuma. If it can live, both the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agree that it's tahor. Then there's nothing to talk about a yad. There's nothing to agree to me here. Everything's considered mechuba la karka. There's no tuma here. The only question is, if it's detached in terms of tuma, which means that it can be mekabel tuma by itself, then the question is, can the tree be a conduit for the tuma? That's what Rashi says. Im yuchoze eno yachol lechiot, can't live, mao sheyaseh lo ha'ilan yad, lavi tumal, perot shebichur. What about the fruits that are on this branch? Can the tree act as a conduit for tuma, to bring tuma to the fruits that are on this branch? Because that'll be tuma tochlim. And the tree will be the conduit. The tree is not mekabel tuma, it's mechuber lekarka. Can that work? That's the same question we had all along. Mara says, teiku, amar Rabbi Zeira. Hare amru, evin shebezavit. If you have a stone that's in the corner, a stone being a shared stone, between two neighbors. You have neighbors, and they have a wall between them that they share, a du-mishpachti house, a semi-detached house, and there's one of these large stones that runs between the two houses. In the first place, when they come and you find sarat on the house, after the hezger is shown, you have to take out the stone, you have to be choleitz, and you have to take out that stone and replace it with a new stone. And that chalitza, that requirement of removing the stone, if it doesn't clear up, then you have to take out the entire stone. Choleitz et kula. Take out the entire stone, both the part that in the person's house that has the tzarat, as well as the neighbor's house. You have to take out the stone entirely and then replace it with a new stone. And then you wait and see what happens. If the nega comes back, then there's a requirement, lintots, to knock down the whole house. But when you notates et shelo, umeniach et shel chaviro. But when you break the stone, you have to chisel away the stone. The half that is supporting your friend's house, that stays in place. The half of the stone that's in the bayit haminuga, that'll be crushed and broken down and taken away. The Gemara wants to know, by Rabbi Zeira, mau, shetiaseh yad chaverta. The half of the stone that's in the neighbor's house, what's the story? Can that be a yad tuma? Because we know, tumat negayim ar mitamim be'ohel. So can that other half of the stone be a yad to be mavir, this tumat ohel, to the other house? Can it function as a yad? It's not tamei tumat negayim. It will not be tamei tumat negayim. You're going to split the stone in half when it comes to breaking the house down. Nevertheless, can it be a yad? Even though it's not relevant to the tuma that is here, nevertheless, can it still function as a yad to move that tuma over? So that would be the question. Teiku, again, a series of questions that are all similar in nature, which is, when you have a certain item that could be mekabel tuma or has tuma, and you have another item that's not relevant to that tuma, either because it cannot be mekabel tuma, or it hasn't been mekabel that tuma, what can it function as a yad? Can it function as a conduit, either to bring tuma to the other item, or to take the tuma from the other item outwards? Alright, now, the Gemara continues with the Mishnah, which is meita habeima. If the animal dies, habasar tzarich hechsher. The basar needs hechsher. But the Aver mitameh mishum Aver minachai, v'ena mitameh mishum Aver nevela, divi Rabbi Meir, mishumon mitaer. We have here in the latter half of the Mishnah is mita osen nipul. You have this Aver mituldal, you have this Aver that's hanging off the behema. The behema dies. When the behema dies, that's the equivalent of severing that Aver. If you sever that Aver, well, that Aver already was semi-detached before the animal died. But now the animal dies and the severing happens a moment before the animal is dead. That means the animal will be classified as a nevela. But this aver fell off before it died, because of mitos and nipul. That's the case. This aver will be classified as aver minachai, And it'll be mitameh ke'ever min achayiv, and not like ever min avela. That's one. Habasar, if it's not an ever, but a basar, basar meduldal is tahor, basar achai is tahor, it doesn't have any tumah to it, only ever min achai is tumah. So the basar that falls away from it, because mito senipo, that basar that falls away from it has no tumah whatsoever. It needs hechsher, it now has a status of ochlim. So it needs hechsher in order to make it tameh tumat ochlim, and it'll have to be mekabel tumah in order to have tumat ochlim. That's what the Mishnah says according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meshumar is mitaher. What the Gemara wants to know is, the Mishnah makes a statement that when mito osenipo, when the aver falls away, it has tumat aver menachai, and not tumat nevela. What is the difference between tumat aver menachai and tumat nevela? And what is the tumah of aver menachai? And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss here. Ma'ikar ben aver menachai, aver shel nevela. If our Mishnah says that it is aver menachai and not aver mena nevela, and aver menachai is mitameh ke nevela. So it's the same thing in the end. What does it make a difference? The difference is, basara poresh mimenu, that if there's flesh that drops away from this aver, so if the flesh drops away from this aver, dilo basara poresh mi aver menachai, if you have basara that falls away from an aver menachai, lo mitameh. Why not? Because the whole problem by aver menachai is exactly what you call it. Aver menachai. As long as it's an aver, it has tumat, aver menachai. If basar falls away from it, that basar is no longer aver menachai. It's not aver menachai, it's not going to be metameh, ken nevela. On the other hand, when it comes to a nevela, an aver nevela, if you have basar fall away from it, it's mitameh. Because it is, nevela is all about the basar. It's all about a kazayit basar, is considered nevela. So if basar falls away from an aver of an animal, it is mitameh. Aver menachai de mitameh, micro. Okay, you made an underlying assumption that aver menachai is mitameh kenevela. What's the pasuk that teaches us that? So Reviu Damarav says, v'chi yamut min ha-behema. That if something from the behema dies, meaning not the whole behema, just a piece of it dies. That's what we call aver menachai, an aver that separates away. V'agmar says, how could you use it for that? V'ami b'ayle l'gdidach the Reviu Damarav. V'nis v'another limud of Reviu Damarav. Dam Reviu Damarav, amri lo b'matnita tano. Some say we have it in a b'raito. V'chi yamut min ha-behema, mitzat behema mitama, mitzat behema ena mitama. Some animals when they die will be mitameh. Some animals when they die will not be mitameh. Vezuzu, what's an animal when it dies that is not classified as being tameh, tumat, nevela? Zu treifa, shishochta. That's the teachers that a treifa, that you do shechita on a treifa, that's mitaheret midei nevela. So that comes in the pasuk, mina behema. Only some behemot have tumat nevela. Not all behemot have tumat nevela. Because there's some that if you do shechita on them, even though not mutar b'achila, shechita is mitaherem, midei nevela, and that's a case of a treifa. But that means that we're using the word min behema already. How could you learn out from that that aver menachai is mitameh kenevela? Simkein lechtov rachmana, mi behema. Could have written it as one word, mi behema. My min ha behema, shma min atar. Today we can learn two things out from it. So two things that we learn out from it are, number one, what we need here, that aver menachai is mitameh kenevela. And number two is, that there are some times that an animal, when it has a shechita done to it, that it will be tahor, and that's the case of a treifa. Even though it's not edible, it'll still be tahor. So, iochi, afilu basar nami. So if that's the case, why isn't the basar also tameh? It's mina behema also. Why is it aver menachai and not basar menachai also that's mitameh kenevela? Lo salka datcha, you wouldn't say that. Titania, we're bright. Yochel, basar purish menachai tameh. I would think the basar that falls away from an animal should have the same din as an aver menachai. Basar menachai, aver menachai, why should there be any distinction? Tamad omar, v'chi yamut min ha-behema. That when something dies from the animal, what dies from the animal is an aver coming away. Ma mita she'en oseh chalipin, which is like death. It cannot be retracted. It cannot be rehabilitated. It cannot be rejuvenated. Af kol she'en oseh chalipin. So too, anything that does not rejuvenate, does not replace itself. Divri Rabbi Yossi. So when it comes to an aver menachai that falls away, an aver menachai does not regrow, does not rehabilitate. Basar menachai, you have flesh that falls away, the flesh regrows. And it comes back. So the fact that it can come back makes it not like the behema itself. It's not like the mita ha behema. And therefore will not be mitameh kenevela. Kibo mer, behema. Ma behema gidim v'atzamot. Kibo says, no, behema is made up of gidim and atzamot, bones and sinews. So too, any item that is made up of bones and sinews, that will be like the behema, and it'll be mitameh, tumat nevela. That's lafuke basar, which doesn't have gidim atzamot in it. Rabbi Omer, Behema, Rabbi explains it slightly different. Behema, ma behema basar, gidim atzamot. So like a behema has flesh, sinews, and bones to make up an aver. Af kol, basar, gidim atzamot. So too, anything that has basar, gidim atzamot, that'll be classified as an aver that is meant to make a nevela. Ma yikaben Rabbi la Rabbi Akiva. What's the difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva? Because you have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi both saying that it has to be domel behema. So Rabbi says it's domel behema because it has basar, gidim atzamot, as flesh, bones, and sinews. Is there something different between them? The answer is yes. Ikvenayu arkova, the lower part of the leg, below the knee, which is sold along with the head. That lower part has no flesh on it, but it does have gidim and atzamot. Does it have sinews and atzamot? Is that considered to be Eiver Menachai or not? According to Rabbi Akiva, that does qualify for Eiver Menachai, because it has gidim and atzamot. According to Rabbi, it will not qualify as Eiver Menachai because it's missing, it's lacking basar. It only has gidim atzmot, not basar, therefore it's not compared to the behema itself. It's not compared to the behema itself, then it's not Eiver Menachai. Ben Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Ma'ika Benayu. Between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama, Rabbi Yosef Glili, what's the difference between them? Amra Papa, Kluya, Beniv Svatayim, Ma'ika Benayu. The kidneys and the lips are the difference between them. Because Rabbi Yosef Glili, which is the Girsa should be, I read it as Divrei Rabbi Yosi. You can see here on the Mesor Sashaz, he changes the Girsa to Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Because Aglili, it has to be something that does not regenerate in order to be classified as an Eiver Minachai or to be Mitametumat Vela. If it regenerates, it's not that way. Kidneys and the lips do not regenerate themselves, but Ein Etzim, but they don't have a bone in there. So according to Rabbi Yosi, that would be Eiver Minachai, because it's just like any other Eiver where it doesn't regenerate itself, these items also do not regenerate themselves. So therefore, they have a classification of Tumah. So Rabbi Akiva says the qualification to be an Eiver is that you need Gidim and Atzamot. The lips and the kidneys don't have Atzamot in them, so they will not qualify as Eiver Minachai or for Tumat Nevela. Tanya Nami Gabi Shratzim. We have a similar Braita by Shratzim. Ki Gavna Yochol Basar Purish Min Asheratzim Yehet Tamei. I would think that flesh that comes off his sheretz would be Tamei. Tamalomar Bimotam. In their death, ma mita she'en oseh chalipin, just like mita is permanent, cannot be retracted or reversed. Of course, she'en oseh chalipin, anything that cannot rehabilitate, that cannot replace itself. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Kiva mer sheret, ma sheretz gidim atzamot, afko gidim atzamot. Just like a sheretz is made up of gidim atzamot, so too, anything that's made up of gidim atzamot. Rabbi Omer sheretz, ma sheretz basar gidim atzamot. Af kol basar gidim atzamot. Rabbi's opinion again. It's like a sheretz made up of flesh, sinews, and bones. So too, anything that's made up of flesh, sinews, and bones, that will be mitamei tumat eiver menachai. Ben Rabbi the Rabbi Kiva yikubenayu arkova. Between Rabbi and Rabbi Kiva, the same distinction that we drew with the beima will be true by the sheretz will be the arkova, the lower part of the leg, where there is no basar, but there is gidim atzamot. So according to Rabbi Kiva, that would be considered to be eiver menachai. Whereas according to Rabbi, it would not be because you lack the basar. Ben Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Mike Ibnayu. What's the difference between Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yosi Aglili? Amarab Papa, the same answer that he gave above, which is Kuya, Beniv Satayim Ika Benayu. That the kidneys and the lips, which do not replace themselves, if they are taken away, they're not going to grow back. But nevertheless, they do not contain Atzamot. So according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, they would be classified as Eiver Menachai. Whereas according to Rabbi Kiva, they would not be classified as Eiver Menachai. Betzricha. And I need both cases here. I need the case of Behema, and I need the case of Sheretz, the Yashminim Behema, if you only told me a Behema, I know time to Lomitame Mechaim, Mishum to Lomitame Be'adasha. The reason that it's not Mitame Mechaim when it's still alive is because it's not Mitame Be'adasha. Because the threshold is higher for Behema than it is for Sheretz. Sheretz Mitame Ke'adasha with the size of a lentil seed. Sheretz is Mitame Ke'adasha, Emma Lotame Mechaim. I would say that it should be Mitame even when it's still alive. The Yashminim Sheretz, if you're only talking about a Sheretz, Mishum to Lomitame Be'masa. That it's not mitamei masa, it's not mitamei mechayim of a behema. The mitamei masa, ema mitamei mechayim. So the sheretz that doesn't have tumat masa, that will not be mitamei mechayim. You have to wait for it to die or for it to be severed in order for it to be classified as eiver menachai. But a behema that does have tumat masa has that chumra. I would say so that it should be mitamei mechayim before even it falls off, before it's detached, before it's dead tzricha. Therefore, we need the pasuk to come and tell us about sheretz as well as behema that the only time it qualifies to be an eiver menachai is when it's actually severed or completely severed from the behema and mitos and nipo. So when he does an ipul, that is considered the severing of the limb, and therefore it will be qualified or considered as Eivir Min HaChai, as long as it meets the requirements, depending on who you are, Rabbi Yosef Galili, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi, the requirements that they set out to be classified as Eivir Min HaChai. We'll stop here.